Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
What's trending?
Again, I'll get you an update on Alex Gold's absence today here in just a moment. But first thing on what's trending, the Royals are winners of 9 of their last 10 games. Michael Walker will take the mound tonight as they start a 3-game series against the Baltimore Orioles, the team they beat in the postseason last year, and a team that is currently 7 games below 500, so struggling at least on their end. This will be the first game the Royals have played all season in which they do not threaten to go below 500, because they're now 2 games above 500. A little bit of other Royals housekeeping. There's been no update yet on Salvador Perez's health, at least not that I've seen so far. The Royals have released AAA player Nick Gordon. That's after the promotion of Peyton Wilson, just probably a little too many people at the same position across the board there at that spot. And then the Royals pitcher and hitter of the month were announced. Bobby Wood Jr. was the hitter of the month. Chris Boosh is the pitcher of the month. 2 non-surprising answers.
Not surprising in the slightest. Bubich absolutely nails from the word go. Bobby got off to a slow start, but has been phenomenal, obviously, in the midst of a 22-game hitting streak. Surprises nobody. Yeah, Gordon kind of got lost in the shuffle with how well Drew Waters has played since he got called up. And Mark Canna, that's a guy, an unsung hero, I guess, in the last hour that we didn't really talk too much about, yeah. Who's been really, really good at 36 years old. And with the prospects that are behind him, he just sort of got caught in the shuffle. There was no real room for advancement for him. It made a lot of sense to go other ways.
Yeah, really changing at least the look of it here in the early going. Next up on Watch Trinity, the KC Current tonight against the Seattle Reign. That game at 9:30 tonight. Obviously, the KC Current lost their first game last week. Sporting KC will also take on the Galaxy this Sunday. So, not bad overall. You a soccer fan, Logan? We don't know each other that well. Honestly, Logan and I have barely met. We are essentially like, we've met a little bit, but yeah. I mean, we've never done a show together.
This is more or less our introduction to one another here this morning.
We should
this
do a little getting to know you, little dating game, you know? I know you're married.
I am.
You told me about a house.
I did.
How old are you?
27.
27. All right, so you're the youngest person on the show today. That's normally Drew. He usually gets that honor.
Well, I mean, it happens.
I am consistently the oldest person on the show, so.
Hey, nature of the beast, you know. Yeah, I mean, obviously, somebody in the text line earlier at the start of the show, I don't know if you saw it, said, Cody, was it bring your nephew to work day? Your co-host looks 12.
I do have a nephew who's 25 years old.
Okay.
So before you think I have a nephew your age, I do. That's called something. If anyone's teen pregnancy will relate to that's what happens. That's again a nephew who's 25 years old.
Hey man, it happens.
I have a nephew who's 25, and what's my youngest niece or nephew? 5? I got a wide spread of nieces and nephews.
I'll do you one better, Cody. I've got 2 uncles that I'm older than.
Oh, interesting.
I don't have any friends growing up was that way, too.
Yep. I graduated high school with an uncle who I am 2 years older than, and then I have an uncle that graduated with my wife, who I'm actually 2 years older than.
That makes no sense. Yeah, I understand the math on it.
My mom's brothers, they have different dads. So my grandma had my mom in her early 20s, and then she ended up marrying a guy 20 years later, and they had both of my uncles.
Okay.
Yeah, my mom was pregnant at the same time as my grandma twice. My mom was pregnant at the same time as her mother twice.
We had a standard order of that, but that's That's wild.
Yeah, it's a weird story. To answer your question, no, I'm not the biggest soccer fan on the planet, I'll admit. Soccer is one of those sports to me. I actually talked about this on After Hours last night. I struggle with sports like soccer, hockey, even baseball to some extent. I know that's blasphemous. Watching on TV. Like, I love going to the ballpark to watch a baseball game. I've never been to a hockey game, although I would like to. I couldn't really get into soccer until about a year ago. My wife and I went with my niece to watch a game at Sporting. The Current were playing there before their new stadium had opened up by the bridge. And I really enjoyed it. I'd like to get more into soccer. My niece is a big soccer fan. I've got to go to her soccer tournament tomorrow. So it's something that my wife and her family have always really gravitated towards. I never really understood it. I don't know the game that well, but I'd like to.
Find out more as we go throughout it. Next up on What's Trending, Mike Trout has been placed on the 10-day injured list after a bone bruise had him leaving the game early yesterday. It's unfortunate for him. He's off to a pretty good start from the power department in the season right now, but I don't know, man. That's just unfortunately Mike Trout's entire history. And lastly on What's Trending, Greg Popovich is retiring from coaching after 29 years in the league. Obviously, a health scare last year kicked him off there. They're just going to promote the assistant coach who did the job the rest of the year last year. But yeah, Greg Popovich done from coaching after 29 years. That's What's Trending here on Cody and Gold. I'm going to get to Gold here in just a minute. I want to remind you, tomorrow we are heading to Springfield. We got 220-ish people heading down to watch Caglione play some baseball. If you pre-ordered your shirts, we'll be handing those out from 3:30 to 5. That's the window to pick them up. 3:30 to 5 at Harbell's right near the stadium. You can grab your shirts there. I'll have a few left over. Not a ton. I'll just be honest with you. Not a ton of leftover shirts from our friends over at Raygun. Of course, the Cody and Gold Road Trip is brought to you by the Art of Sports. So if you've got sports cards needs like gold, you can head down to the Art of Sports and check out their amazing collection of Bobby Wood Jr., baseball, football, anything you might need. They're taking care of us on this trip, and we really, really appreciate their support. If for some reason you didn't order your shirt in time and you're worried, if you are going to want this CAG shirt down the road, it is available on their website. Now, they just put it up today, raygunsite.com, or I was told they're going to have some in the store as well. They shipped me a bunch yesterday to hand out to all of you, but also, you know, they're going to have some in the store and online as well. So if you like the CAG shirt, you can see them at the Fan96.5 on Twitter, at Cody B. Tapp, at Alex Gold. We got all the information up there. But if you want $10 tickets, we're still going tomorrow. 96.5thefan.com. $10, all brought to you by the Art of Sports. Like I said, we've got over, I think now, 220 people going down to Springfield to watch CAGs. It's going to be an awesome time. Really looking forward to it. Earlier on the text line, someone said, Alex shouldn't be allowed to go on this trip. This is like skipping school and still doing the fun thing. If you missed it earlier this week, I think on Wednesday, Alex, it happened last week, but Alex on Wednesday announced that in an online card break for a Dallas card shop, he had bought into a baseball break. He had gotten a consolation pack of these smaller packs that are available at card shows, like in Chicago or Cleveland, whatever. In one of those packs contained a one-of-one Caitlin Clark Gold Prism. If you don't follow cards, that's a good one to get. Whew. Caitlin Clark, one of one rookie cards are worth a lot of money. He's going to send it off to an auction house and all this stuff, but the card is valued according to the auction house. And he said this on the air, so I'm not like breaking news for him. The card is valued somewhere between $10,000 and $25,000. I believe he had a cash offer of 7 or 8 already put on the table. So the card is valued at between $10,000 and $25,000. He took today off because they shipped this regular United States Postal Service. Wild decision. Reckless, in my opinion, from the card shop. I don't know the name of the card shop, or I'd call them out. Reckless decision, in my opinion, to send this regular postal service for something that's worth 10 grand at minimum, it sounds like.
I'm sorry. The better decision would have been to get in your car and drive from Dallas to Kansas City rather than use USPS.
So, yeah, just crazy. But I promise you an update, so I'm going to give it to you. So here's what happened. Alex earlier today sends us a text. He says, finally, this morning, 6:30 in the morning, I woke up bright and early. Drew, you can attest. Woke up bright and early. He sends us the tracking information. It says it's out for delivery. He's like, oh, thank God. It's about time. He took the entire day off just to sit and wait for the mail carrier to deliver this thing. Then he sends us a text later on in the day. It says, it went from out for delivery to now back at the post office? What the hell? The thing says moving through the facility, arrived at the post office. Then it says out for delivery. Now it's like, yeah, we're back to the post office. Drew tells him, hey, man, just go to the post office. I double down on that. Hey, man, you should probably just go to the post office. As of 20 minutes ago, Alex says, shout out Danielle at the post office, USPS Employee of the Year. She went back into the storage facility, found the item, got him to sign for it, and gave it to him before it was getting ready to be moved back to the regional plant at 1 o'clock. So if Alex had not gone to go look for this card, it would have ended up back at the regional plant, not out for delivery, and he'd been screwed. Apparently, Danielle helped him. He tells us the card is in his possession.
Awesome.
Oh. He owns it. It is officially his. I think he would have told us if it was bent, ripped in half, in pieces, had not shipped well. It appears Alex has his card valued somewhere between 10 and 25 grand. When it goes to auction, this show will be following it pretty regularly.
I would bet. I would bet. Does he know what the grade on it is yet?
He is not. So he just physically got the card.
Okay.
Now, I think in the next 24 hours, he'll be sending it to an auction house, which he's already agreed to send it to. They, because they're a very, very, very high-end reputable auction houses who handles super high-end cards like this one, they have a connection with. They'll send it out to PSA. They'll do all that stuff. So, no, the next time you'll probably hear about it on the show, other than Alex's escapades today, is what PSA grade did it get? Because if it's a 9, it's probably a $10,000 card. If it's a 10, it is probably a, they think, $15,000 to $25,000 card. So it's a big sweat. If you don't know, cards are graded from 1 to 10. 10 being gem mint. That is the finest grade it can get. It's worth more if you get a gem mint grade. It's all like very, and like, I'll be honest, they graded on all kinds of crazy stuff, like how centered the card is, the corners, the shine, the surface. There's like a, I don't know it all, honestly. There's a whole bunch of reasons why they do it. Are you into cards at all?
I was. I'm not as big into it now as I used to be, although I will say I have three separate Topps Ultra, or I don't even know if it's Topps, LeBron James rookie cards that I still hold on to for express purposes. I used big into like collecting cards, but never for like the monetary side as a kid, so maybe I should. Good Lord. Alex is convincing me as we see it.
I think ultras are fleer. Here's the problem with cards. Is it, so you could have a LeBron rookie, ungraded. Maybe it's worth a couple $100.
Is he in the
maybe
same Mary's jersey?
Maybe it's in...
No, he's in a Cavs jersey in it.
He's a, you know, maybe it's worth $100. Maybe it's worth $200. But if it's the right refractor, the right, you know, this, I mean, God, oh, yeah. it's such a niche. It's so specific. His is easy to figure out. It's a good car because it's one of one.
Yeah.
The only way it would have been a better one of one is if it was also a one of one auto, you know, because then it might be a $100,000 card, not a $15,000 card. But
it probably doesn't matter. I wonder if it matters based on, because so the one that the gold got, she's an Iowa jersey. She's not in a Fever jersey, but it's a rookie card.
Yeah, that's cold.
I don't know if that changes things.
I cannot answer this. The 816, why is he not wanting to hold on to it to see if it'll appreciate? I'm figuring he's looking at
it's like playing the lottery,
one
man.
One hand worth two in the bush. It's like, you know, he already won the lottery is, I think, the way he's looking at it.
Yeah.
He spent $59 to get into this break, and let's just say it's 15, and he won $15,000. He's not trying to, like, win the lottery twice.
Exactly. Yeah, I look at it like...
And I get it. I told him never to follow the card. He should just ignore that this card ever exists, because if he looks it up 10 years from now, and it... And a recent sale goes for $190,000, he's going to hate himself.
Yeah.
He's going to be pissed at himself forever, and he shouldn't do it. He should just sell the card and then just forget it ever existed for the rest of his life, yeah,
is
my opinion.
The problem with it, like I said, it's like playing the lottery where like somebody wins a $100 million lottery, and it's like, well, you can take $35 million now, or we can pay you $160,000 a month for the next 15 years. And it's like, just give me the money up front and you're not going to make as much money in the long haul. But there's also the possibility, and I hate to be the one to say this as an Iowa fan, and I do not wish for this. I'm going to knock on wood as I'm saying it. She could tear her ACL this season, and all of a sudden, this bright, prosperous career. I'm an Iowa fan.
There's two parts of this. One, someone said if they miss it, how did he get the card? He bought into an online break through Fanatics Live as part of a consolation pack. They pulled the one-of-one Caitlin Clark on an online stream. The video's up on his Twitter account, at Alex Gold. Therefore, they shipped him the card, and it is. The other part about this is the WNBA is a growing product.
Mm-hmm.
Will Card Market be hotter than when she was Iowa Caitlin Clark? Like right now? This might be the hottest window of time for her still. Even if she is a 10 or 15 year pro.
Yeah.
This might still be the peak value. So like he's just not, it's like speculating in gold. He's just not going to do it. I don't think. I can't answer for him fully. I just think it's like he won the lottery. He didn't want to try to win it twice.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Take it while you got it.
It's crazy. Crazy. So yeah, Alex has a card. Nobody needs to worry. He's good. He's probably took a huge sigh of relief. I will borderline guarantee you if you follow him on social media, I think he borrowed like a photo box and a nice camera. He's going to take a few photos for posterity, and then he's going to ship that thing off so it can get into a PSA grading in a nice auction house. So you want to pay attention to that? Alex will tell you all more about it if you're going on the road trip with us to Springfield tomorrow. I want to talk about the Royals yesterday, who did win their 9th game in their 10th attempt. A week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, I had to fight off people with a stick trying to bury the Royals for good, trying to say it was over. Jake Eisenberg had pointed this out at 10:30, and this is kind of where I stand on to it. At 10:30, he had said, the part about this is I had asked Jake, was it more likely that the pitching continued to do this or the hitting continued to be bad? And all of us at that time, Alex, me, Jake, all agreed. It was more likely the pitching continued to pitch really well than the hitting stayed this bad. That's already bearing out a little bit. I'm not claiming they're an offensive juggernaut, but since that time, Vinny's hitting a little better. Salvi's hitting a little better. Not gangbusters. They're not like all going off. India's hitting a little better. They're getting quite a bit more out of right field because they sent MJ Melendez down and Drew Waters has played well. And the pitching has remained at the top of the American League. If you ask me today, are the Royals making the playoffs? My answer is the same as it was 2 weeks ago. Yeah. I'd say that they're making the playoffs. This is a really good baseball team. Winning 9 of 10 is just, they're going on their hot streak. Now you just need them to like balance it out. Avoid the long losing streak is what I'm talking about now. Because that's what got them before. They got into an ice cold stretch where they couldn't win a ball game to save their lives. That's how they got 6 to 7 games below 500. Now just avoid the long losing streak like they were for most of last year and the early part of this year, Logan, they'll be fine.
Yeah, this last 9 out of 10 has really been a case of trying to, you know, get back on track. They're straightened out, right? They had this really bad start to the year, and now they've course corrected by winning 9 out of 10. You're now back above 500, where I think that they will sit for the majority of the year as we continue. And you hope that this is a team that is at least 8 to 10 games above 500 when you get around the deadline, where the Royals can now look at, okay, who are the pieces, right? Who are the guys in the prospect list that we could stomach dealing away for an arm or a bat? This is where this Royals team needs to sit. I'm right on board with you that the pitching is going to be the pitching all year long. I think regardless of who's out there on the bump, whether it's the starters and you know, with the way that Daniel Lynch has pitched out of the bullpen, I think that if your starting pitching went down, went down here or there, that he could slide back up. Noah Cameron obviously has shown you he's capable of it. In the biggest moment of his life.
Just show up one time.
Just show up one time.
He's such a sucker.
To show up one time and take a no-hit bit into the 7th, you now have increased confidence in him moving forward. You've got so many bullpen arms that you can lean on, from Schreiber and Lynch and Serpa and Estevez and Ursig. The pitching is going to be the pitching. The hitting is going to have its ebbs and flows, as everybody does. Bobby is Bobby.
Yeah.
That's it.
No flow there. He's got a 22-game hitting streak.
Yeah, he is that dude, all right? He's a top 5 player in Major League Baseball, and I don't believe that he's 5 or 4. He's that good a player. Everybody else is going to have their moments, right? Mikel Garcia, it's been his moment through the first month of the year. Drew Waters has been great since he got called up. Mark Canha has been awesome in limited ABs. Vinny has struggled. Salvi has struggled. Massey has struggled, right? A guy that we looked at and said, okay, he could do some things. Jonathan India, who had big expectations, has struggled. Ebbs and flows, baby. That's just the nature of the beast. The pitching's going to keep him in it. I'm not worried.
Yeah, I mean, if I felt okay 2 weeks ago, imagine how I feel now. I feel fantastic.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Like, I wasn't saying the ship was sinking before. I understood that they had given away their leeway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is really hard. But, like, you get through the month of April, and if I had told you they had a winning month of April, you'd be like, okay, I'll take that. Now, it came weird. It came with a long winning streak or winning a lot of games towards the end of the month, and it came with some really bad play there in the middle. And offensively, they are still semi in shambles or having problems. But I do think Vinny's hitting a little bit better. I do think India's getting on base a little bit better. Some of those things are starting to, which is a good time. Because I'll be honest, I'd be surprised if Mikel Garcia or Drew Waters could hit like this all year. Like, they're probably playing a little above their everyday capability. Fine. Okay, just as long as the other guys come through and do this, I just need them to be good enough to think that they have to buy. Or to think that later in the year they got to call up Cags. Or they got to do or call up Peyton. They got to call up whatever offensive player they think can make a big difference. Problem is, in AAA right now, that guy doesn't really exist unless it's Peyton Wilson making two levels in a single year. So that guy isn't really there unless it's him or Caglione. And at that point, I'd be surprised if they didn't just go the veteran bat option to do with it. Like, it's, you know, like that part of it really, really kind of moves the needle on it. I feel great about where the Royals are right now.
Yeah.
They've got the Baltimore Orioles tonight, by the way, a team that started slow like the Royals, was a playoff team like the Royals last year, but they haven't figured it out yet.
No.
Like, I think that's of note. Like, they could have just done what the Orioles are doing and, like, stayed in, not obscurity right now, but, like, the Baltimore Orioles started slow, and they haven't figured it out yet.
They can't score runs, and they are giving up a ton. I mean, third most runs allowed in Major League Baseball this year. Gunnar Henderson's numbers are down. Adley Rutschman's numbers are down. You look across that team at other big-name guys, right? They're not wowing you.
No.
Honestly, and this is something that hadn't occurred to me until this morning, I think the loss of Anthony Santander has played a bigger role than we thought it would. And Santander has not been great in Toronto by any means. He's hitting under the Mendoza line. But he was a massive power bat. He protected some of the guys in the middle of that order, like Cedric Mullins and Rutschman and Henderson. And now you don't have that. I mean, Gunnar Henderson's hitting 220, right? Rutschman's hitting 220. Cedric Mullins is doing his job. He's hitting close to 280, but it hasn't been great. Ryan Mountcastle, who's never been a guy who hits for great average anyway, he's down below the Mendoza line.
Yeah,
this is
an
Orioles team that is just not they haven't taken the next step. You thought that Rutschman and Henderson and Mountcastle, Jackson Holliday, they could become the best young core in baseball, and they have regressed through the first month of the year.
They're a really interesting case study of, you know, because lots of teams, you know, can win in microdose. Now, they also played, this is something I'll defend the Orioles in, their last two series against the Tigers and the Yankees. Those are the two of the three best records in the American League. So, you know, the Royals went through their bad part of the schedule, got whipped a little bit, right? Had a little wake-up call when they had to face all these teams above 500, when they had to take on teams like Detroit and the New York Yankees. It didn't go smooth for them either. So the Orioles, you know, like a lot like the Astros last year, I don't even cheer for the Orioles. Far too early. Far too early to be like ruling them out or ruling out any version of it or going outside that. So like, yeah, I don't think so. That's not the case. I wouldn't do that. It's just like this whole mess of a situation just inside of there. But yeah, I still think if you look at it, the guy who's giving me the most confidence right now is like, then he looks like he's starting to hit a little bit. Like, I don't think he's far off. Maybe it's not all put together yet, but I don't think Vinny's that far off from being the kind of contributor we're used to seeing out of Vinny. I'm sure he's disappointed it took a month to become that contributor again. But yeah, I you know, I guess I was never overly worried about Vinny either, which makes it a little bit easier to swallow. But yeah, I have a hard time sending myself into a panic over it, I guess, is the point.
Strikeouts are down. His hard hit rate is up. He's seeing the ball better. That's all you need. If Vinny's seeing the ball better, runs and RBIs, home runs, and that batting average is going to start to level itself back out, which is what we want, right? I mean, he doesn't have to hit 260, 280. Ever. That's not who he has to be.
260 would hit last year.
Right.
And that, I mean, anybody think there's 265 maybe? I mean, anybody think that he wasn't a valuable player to the Royals last year?
Top three in the American League before he went down with the injury. That's what he's got to be there for.
The last thing you should look at.
Yeah, he's got to drive in runs. That's what his job is, hitting behind Jonathan India, who doesn't hit for average, but he gets on base, right? Straight money ball, Billy Bean, Jonathan India gets on base. Bobby Witt is Bobby Witt. If Vinny's hitting in the three spot and he's got guys in scoring position, drive him in. I don't care how you do it. That's Vinny's job.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit, maybe more Royals. There's a little bit something going on, but the Chiefs had an interesting comp that I think is of note, and we'll get to a random question of the day. That's all next.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Cody will be back in a second. Logan Webber filling in for Alex Gold. I'm sitting behind the glass producing the show, and Cody is back.
Sorry, everybody. Cody Tapp, Logan Webber with you. Drew Nixon on the other side of the glass. I didn't hear what you said before. I am late. Alex missed the whole show. Okay, I'm a little bit late coming back from break.
We didn't throw you under the bus at all. Oh, okay. I promise. We did not throw you under the bus.
I'm glad Alex got his card. There were a couple people on the text line. This is always like the silliest thing about cards. They're like, hey, shouldn't he hold on to it and just try to get Caitlin Clark to sign it? She shows up to training camp, all this other stuff. The way the card stuff works, it'd be worth less money if he signed.
Well, that's what I thought too originally. Mm-hmm. I'm not very kidding. Beginner with card stuff.
Because it's a one of one, because of the type of card it is, if she were to sign it on the card is actually worth less. I know that makes no sense. If it was an auto card that already had the autograph, you're good. If it's the card is the way it was and then she signed it, like, look, a regular card can be worth more because someone signed it. A card like that, you don't want to mess with.
Yeah. It's a bizarre industry.
Yeah. I mean, it's very, very bizarre. 913-586-7965 over on the text line. We'll talk to our guy Harold Koontz over at Fox 4. He'll join us for Fan Club Friday. Get a little few drinks made from Parisi, I believe, as well. Coming to join us in studio. We'll have a good time here in Fan Club Friday coming up in about 30 minutes. I want to go back to the Chiefs for just a second because Ryan Nutt, who's the second man in charge behind Brett Veach, I went back and I was looking through some of his clips. I was like, oh, you know, what do we want to talk about today? Is there a player I'm not thinking about? And I think sometimes I get a reputation for being a bit negative. I try not to be. I try to be a realist. And a realist for a seventh-round pick at running back is, I don't know, there's a better chance he doesn't make the team, right, than is like a viable, like a starting running back, 1,000-yard guy in the league. So I don't know. Breshard Smith is a total dart throw. I thought there was an interesting comp they made for him. I like the role comp. I do not like the player comp.
Yes.
The role makes sense. Breshard Smith spent 3 years in college playing wide receiver. Talking about him in this third down, scat backy. Hey, look, oh, maybe we put him in a two-back field and we spread him out wide and, you know, we mix and match and make it cut. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's lots of different ways to use him. They love having a player like that. In previous years, it's been McColl. He's not on the team anymore. I don't think they have, like, a ready-made guy for that, right? Worthy needs to be a regular wide receiver. It's not that he can't have a unique player in end-around, but he needs to be an everyday wide receiver. Same with Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown. Those guys don't need to be in the gadget role. Breshard Smith could be. Problem I had with Ryan Nutt's comp is that he said, essentially, this is how we viewed Kadarius Toney. And just part of me is like, why did you even bring him up? I think what he's trying to say is what they're telling you is they're still in search of the type of offense they wanted to be. When they drafted Rashee Rice, when they signed Hollywood Brown, when they had Kadarius Toney, they had an idea of how to get back to being a top three offense in the league. And Toney was meant to be a part of that. He didn't end up being a part of that because he was a bad football player. And then he had off the field stuff, or I don't know, he's trying to launch his rap career, whatever the hell was his problem on or off the field. It didn't work.
Yeah.
The comp makes sense in the sense that if they just want this player to like do everything and be an athlete, it's there. And then at the very least, I like that they have a role for him right away. If he's right and Kadarius Toney's a comp, well, then they have a plan for Breshad Smith from day one. And then he does have 300 or 400 yards of all-purpose somewhere on a football field. I like the pick better if that's the role he has immediately.
Yeah, and I agree with you. You got to tamper expectations for a seventh-round pick. Everybody is immediately going to point to, well, Isaiah Pacheco was a seventh-round pick. Right, there was a need, there was a necessity for getting Isaiah Pacheco going. And in my view, and this is not an indictment against Pacheco, who I think is a serviceable back, I think you saw between the injury this year and what followed after the injury, you saw why Pacheco's a seventh round back, right? He doesn't exhibit a ton of patience or vision as a running back. He is just get handoff, run through B gap. I mean, that's kind of who he is as a runner. He is north, south, run like he's pissed off at the ground. That's who he is.
Yeah.
Breshad Smith, he's a seventh round back for a reason, right? He's a converted wide receiver. I like his ability as a runner and as a pass catcher. I think the biggest hurdle for Breshad Smith, two of them actually, number one, he's got to prove he's more serviceable than Elijah Mitchell. He's got to prove he's got better availability than Elijah Mitchell, which,
I mean, that's the lowest conceivable bar.
Right.
I mean, this is not even meant to be like,
exactly.
Elijah Mitchell does not stay that healthy.
That's the low bar for him. I think the higher bar, the higher hurdle for Breshad Smith is you got to prove not only, you know, the pass catching ability, the running ability. Okay, that's all well and good. If you're going to be the third down back for the Kansas City Chiefs, what is your most important role more often than not? You have got to chip. You have got to be able to stand in there and let 290 plus come rolling down on you to protect 15 in the pocket. Because yeah, it's not always going to be dropping out for a swing pass or a halfback screen. Sometimes you're going to have to stand in there and block a guy coming screaming off the edge or a linebacker on a delayed blitz. That is going to be the thing Breshad Smith is going to have to prove
early
in Kansas City.
Third downs, right? Like, everyone's just like, he'll be the third down back. I'm like, have you met Andy Reid and rookies? He wasn't even playing. Pacheco was the third down back when they first started here. When Pacheco was in year one as a starter, he wasn't even the old every third down back guy.
Right.
Now they're just going to put in a different seventh round rookie in that role.
But does
Pacheco would come over the starter role?
Right. Does Pacheco fit as a third, you know, that third down back? I mean, he's had
not
drop
the receiving
issues.
Back that some of the other guys possess, and yeah, certainly like the way they like to use.
And Kareem Hunt is more your short yardage guy.
Yeah,
you want to use him in a third and fourth and one or down in the red zone. When you need a yard, Kareem Hunt's that guy. Steele's not that guy you can use on third and long situation. He kind of fits that. His body type, his catching ability, he kind of fits that mold, I think, a little bit better than some of the other backs outside of Elijah Mitchell. But again, Elijah Mitchell can't stay on the football field.
Yeah, and that always comes, and this goes back to the draft and why I would have spent a more premium pick, as in I would have spent like a third or a fourth round pick on a running back. I think sometimes it gets escalated to like, I wanted them to take Amari and Hampton and trade up. No, I mean, not at that level. That's too strong. But Breshad Smith is like, it brings in a lot of these questions where they know if they start immediately talking about you in this like hybrid-y role of, we don't know where you're going to go. They're pretty much admitting, I think right away, that they're not exactly sure. How do you, they just like, we want to use you because you're an athlete, but we don't know how to use you. Sometimes that's a compliment. Sometimes there are players like Taysom Hill's made an entire career of being the exact type of player I just described. We're not really sure how to use you, Taysom, but we'll use you.
Yeah, Cordarrelle Patterson.
We'll find a way to use you. But the last couple of players to come through on the Chiefs that they have described in this role of like, we don't know how to use you, but we'll use you. Not exactly been panning out.
Mm-mm.
Hasn't moved the needle for me consistently. And so if they're back on a seventh round pick, it's a dart throw. But that's the problem. It's still just a dart throw. It gives them a role. It gives them a purpose. It gives them a place to be. But it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work just because they kind of have an idea of how they want to. It never worked with Tony.
No.
They kept giving the ball to Tony even when it wasn't working. They'd be like, oh, we're getting an end around. I'm like, he's had like five carries for negative 10 yards. Stop doing it. It's It's not working.
Well, the reason why they did that is because he couldn't catch the ball down the field. Otherwise, he would have just been a regular wide receiver probably. They're like, well, he's athletically gifted, but he can't catch the ball, so let's try to give him the ball in the easiest way possible. And it just wasn't working.
You get him on a jet sweep, there's no chance of him lining up offsides.
Yeah, I think that...
I mean, he was lined up normal in there. Yeah, he's got to line up in the backfield, at least that.
Like, to me, Brashear, if you want to go back to previous, I guess, Chiefs to compare him to, he's more like Jerick McKinnon, maybe, than anybody else in terms of...
Rashard?
Yeah. His ability to just catch out of the backfield. He's not necessarily a guy that you... Hey, he needs to help protect the Patrick Mahomes and Chip and everything like that. He'll need to do it, but... He doesn't come to mind, I guess, as that person more of get him out of the backfield, get him the ball in space, and just see what he can kind of do.
They've also typically done that with a vet. So this would be a deviation.
Samaje Perine.
Elijah Mitchell. Yeah. This would be a deviation from the standard plan if just day one, Rashard Smith was like the third down receiving, I'll throw a block if I have to, scat back guy. That's it. Like, it has been McKinnon. That seemed like an obvious Elijah Mitchell. I think that's why we were all looking for more juice. I was looking for a guy who could win the job from anyone in the room.
Yeah, that's Brashard, my one complaint about this draft.
Yeah, Rashard Smith can only win the job from Elijah Mitchell. I don't think he can actually, like, not week one, not till week 8, 9, injury,
start,
whatever.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's just kind of like a miss. I don't know. There's like an interesting dynamic there where I'm still trying to figure it out. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we will talk more about the rivalry uniforms. That's an easy, fun thing to talk about for the fan club coming up in a little bit. But first, let's get to a random question, Drew.
Random question.
For you, Logan. For you, Drew. Text line 913-586-7965. Of course, random question today. You can hit us up at, you know, we said 913-586-7965. YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. Live stream the show on video every single day. If you want to see it, top of your page, subscribe over on YouTube. Make it easy. That way you pop to the top. Don't have to worry about it. And you can answer those questions where I try to interact with you guys over there as well. Logan, you're going to have to take over my chat duties, I think, next week. Need to get you in the Twit and the YouTube chat. Normally, I'm the active one over there. And Alex and I are gone next week. We're going to Nick Schwartz's wedding. So he's our former producer on this show. He's getting hitched. I don't know what kind of trouble to get into over there, but Alex and I are both flying out of town. We're going to California to go watch Nick get hitched. So we'll see exactly how that goes as time goes on. But the random question I have for you guys is about what we have going on tomorrow. So tomorrow we head to Springfield. If you want tickets, 96.5thefan.com. We will be in Springfield to watch Cags play baseball. I got a limited number. I am saying that way on purpose. Not to sound like Russell Wilson, but to just warn you, it's a limited number of shirts available for those who you did not pre-order the Cags shirts. They're available at Raygun if you want to order them online or in their store. But we have a limited number of the $10 ones available for you at Harbell's. If you order them ahead of time, pickup is specific, 3:30 to 5. The question I have for you is, all three of you guys is perfect because you guys are in a relationship and have both been in relationships for a long time. Drew, yes. How long have you been with your wife? Decade?
Been with her since 2017 in the fall. So
8 years?
Almost 8 years now, yes.
You've been with your wife for how long?
Almost 11 years.
11 years. Yeah. So you guys are high school sweethearts.
High school sweethearts. We started dating in 2014.
Logan, and so way back, 11 years, 8 years, I've been with my wife for 20 plus years. 22, I don't know, whatever. Long time I've been with my wife. Do you change your general behavior or demeanor when you are out of town without your significant other? Tomorrow in Springfield, I will be in Springfield. We'll get drinks. We'll have fun, whatever. My wife won't be there. The question I have for you, and I want an honest one, is are you more likely to get in trouble, overconsume, get a little reckless with your behavior when your wife is not there than when she is?
For me?
Out of town specifically.
Yes and no. Overconsume. I will freely admit I am not much of a drinker.
Okay.
That's just kind of who I am and my personality. My wife is more of a drinker than I am. So honestly, I only really drink if I'm with my wife. And so if she's not there, there's way less likelihood of me getting hammered. I will say, and we know, right? We work in this business, as radio people, as audio people, we talk a lot and we have a tendency to not shut up. And my wife is that person in my life who will look at me and sort of give me that dude, shut the hell up look. And it's like, okay, I got to rein it in here. I've been monologuing at this point. When she's not around, the filter doesn't exist. My filter is gone, right? So I'm just going. I'm going to let it fly. I'm going to say what I'm thinking. There's nothing between when my brain thinks of it and when it comes out of my mouth. And if my wife's not there in front of me to stop it. So it's a yes and no question for me. My general demeanor changes a lot in the fact that I am very extroverted and very talkative when she's not around.
Okay. Drew, you've been around me a little quieter, a little more reserved in the non-radio setting.
Yeah.
I'm bad socially. I'm getting worse. I don't know if I'm just getting worse. I tend to be a little quieter. Now, drinks start flowing a little bit.
Of course.
Then I'll say a little bit looser. Someone says, depends on if I'm with friends or not. Business trip, act the same. Boys trip, tend to get a little too loose.
Fair. Bachelor parties, yeah, things get wild.
I think it depends on, who I'm with. Like, I'm similar to you, Cody. I think not necessarily like, I get anxious in like social situations, but I think if I don't know you, it's fine. It doesn't make it any different with whether I'm with my wife or whether I'm not in a social setting. I'm more talkative probably when I'm with my wife, just because I know somebody. Where like if it's my family and I'm not with my wife, yeah, things can get a little bit crazy because you're around your family. Yeah. And it's just the way that it is. But if my wife isn't there and I don't know people, I'm not very talkative. I'm not very talkative at all. I might not say anything for a very significant amount of time.
There's two things that really factor into it. Is that one, I think a little bit like Logan, my wife is the most likely person in my life to be like, you good? And the simple offering you the opportunity to check yourself.
Giving you the lifeboat.
Not cool it. Not like, hey, what the hell are you doing? But they're like, you good? And then you got to reflect a little bit. You're like, damn, am I good? If she's saying that, I'm getting loud. I'm getting a little too loose. I'm saying some stuff I shouldn't. But in my case, so 365 days in every available year. Do you know how few years I am out with people who are going to hang out and we're looking to hang out and have a good time. We're going to go somewhere after with no kids and I have no obligation to be anywhere but there on Saturday. That is the situation where I get myself in trouble. I'm out of town. There's no obligation to be anywhere or get anywhere or do anything or wake up with a kid in the morning. There's zero. It's not even just I'm out and there's no what. It's just there is no restriction stopping me or keeping me accountable to the next day. I am probably my worst in those situations, I'll say.
Yeah,
I tend to get a little too loose with the things I say or drink, whatever, right? That tends to be where I'm because the perfect example is when I got a little too talkative with the boss when we were in Vegas. Alex and I went to Vegas.
Yeah.
On a work trip, but it was Super Bowl week, slam busy. It's Friday night. I was out of town. No more work obligations. Or Saturday morning. No more work obligations. No more obligations of any kind. I'm out of town. No kids, no wife. Don't have to wake up. Don't have to work or do anything that day. Got fast and loose pretty quick, I think, on that. Not even on purpose. But I can just, it's in my bones, I think, Drew. If I know that there's nowhere to be after.
Oh, I think everybody's kind of that way, where if you know you don't have to be anywhere afterwards and you're in a setting where you're either at the place you're staying or whatever the case is, you feel a little bit more free in terms of what you can do. I think some from the 816 phrases, it will... in terms of how I relate to it, but they said, hate to admit it, but I'm kind of a lost puppy in a social setting when my wifey isn't there with me. I feel it the same way sometimes, where I'm looking at my phone, I almost want to text her, this is how it's going. You almost feel like
it's a safety net. If a conversation lulls, you can talk to your wife. That's part of it.
100%.
If you've been with someone long enough, it's it's a safety net. That's what it is.
Yeah. One other thing that my wife does for me when we're in a social setting, like when we're, if we're out with friends or I'm out with my buddies by myself, it's fine. But in an atmosphere like you guys have tomorrow, I have a limited social battery when it comes to strangers.
Sure.
And I don't always handle it the best when that social battery hits zero. When I hit E on that thing, I'm like you were talking about, Drew, I am buried in my phone. I'm scrolling. I am finding a reason to pay attention to anything else because I have no, it's not that the person that I'm talking to or the people that I'm around are not fun to be around or I'm not enjoying the conversation. I just don't want to have it anymore.
Yeah.
And, but it's also interesting to me because I don't go out socially without my wife. Like, same. If my wife is gone, I would rather just be in my house. Like, I'd rather just be watching a movie or playing video game. Like, I'm not going to, like, voluntarily go to a bar without my wife there. Unless my best friend or my buddies were like, hey, let's go do this or let's go play a round of golf or whatever. I don't know. I'm a very extroverted person, but my social battery is slight.
Yeah, that's fair.
Makes sense.
Text line's mixed.
I get it.
Mixed bag. That's the random question of the day coming up in 10 minutes. Fan Club Friday, Harold Kuntz, friends over at Parisi, bringing us some coffee-based cocktails for the Fan Club today. Have a little fun. Talk about the NFL jersey news today, where we're finally going to get probably a different Chiefs jersey than we've ever had across the board. If you missed it earlier, a couple people were asking on the text line, can you please explain one more time why Alex is missing the show? Alex was scheduled to be in today. We're going on the road trip tomorrow to Springfield. Alex, last weekend, was in a Fanatics Live break hit. And as a result of that, he pulled a, well, they pulled for him, but it's his card. You know what this is. They're holding your spot. A one of one Caitlin Clark rookie card, gold vinyl, if you want to know all the different specifics of it. He is sending it to an auction house. Golden Auctions. He's got like a Netflix show. If you've never seen it, Logan, this guy who runs Golden Auctions, he's got his own Netflix show for like collectors. He's a bit of a personality. I think he's going to probably come on the show somewhere down the road.
Nice.
He's sending it off there. They estimate the value of the card, depending on the grade it gets back from PSA, somewhere between $10,000 and $25,000. So
that's
Alex
a good ROI.
It was coming via snail mail. It was coming from the USPS. And Alex didn't want to risk it. And wisely so, it appears. So Alex took the entire day off to wait for the post office to deliver it. They didn't. He eventually went to the post office before it went back to the regional site and got it off of them in person over there. Over on Alex Gold on Twitter, on Instagram, I think wherever, he has sent out a photo, a high-res photo and video of the card if you want to see it. So he missed the show today because he wanted to wait in the mail for a, I don't know, a $15,000 piece of paper, essentially. Which all of us would do.
Yeah.
Logan, I wouldn't want you in today if you had $15,000 coming in the mail. I wouldn't want you to probably just go ahead and like kick it, make sure it's okay. He'll probably send it out today. He's immediately sending it out. All of I think the auction house handles like getting it graded and all that stuff, but that's why he's gone. He'll be there tomorrow. He'll be there in Springfield. 96.5.com, 96.5thefan.com if you want to buy tickets for a Springfield trip. Last I checked, we were 220, 225 people. Our hope was maybe to get 250. By the time the numbers jumped up, I'll have a limited amount of shirts available for those who come out. But yeah, should be an awesome time tomorrow. That is why Alex. That's why Alex was gone. But yes,
he made the right decision.
Absolutely not. Yeah, I mean, I would have skipped too. My stance, and this is probably even more so for you, because it's definitely a generational thing. I don't care who you take time off for. I don't want like a big explanation.
Yeah.
You're off? Cool. I don't care if it's because your social battery is low, Logan, or you don't feel like it, or you're sick, or you got a $15,000 Caitlin Clark card coming in the mail. I don't really care where you're going to be off. Just tell me you're going to be off. Like, the rest of it is unimportant to me. Take time off for whatever the hell reason you want to take time off.
Your days are your days. If you're going to use one, use it. I don't need to know why you're using it.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. When we come back, Fan Club Friday. Here on 96.5 The Fan, Harold Kuntz will join us next.